Boker Tov, welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. We're right in the middle of a sugya now on Daf Mem Hey Amud Bet of Ketubot, dealing again with the issue of Motzi Shemra, continuing to deal with the issue of Motzi Shemra, etc. Tana Rabbanan, an Aram Urasa Shezinta, so Klinota Al Petach Beit Aviyah. This is something that we saw already in Shila's Brita. So, if it's an Aram Urasa who has nut, so the special halacha that she stoned in front of her father's house. Her father doesn't have a house, then, so klinota al petach shar ha'irahi, in front of the city gates, as is normally the case with the skila. But let's say the majority of the city is pagans, then so klinota al petach beit din. Because the city doesn't have a din of an ear, as far as that's concerned, so it's in front of the beit din. The same halacha applies to somebody who's Oved Avodazara. Oved Avodat Kochavim. So Klinoto Al Shar Sha'avadbo. We'll see the source for this. But the skila happens in front of the gate of the place where he did the Avodazara. Just like the girl in front of her father's house. So Yirshu Bavde Kochavim. So Klinoto Al Petach Beit Din. Again, at the door of the Beit Din. Now, Manani Mili, where does all this come from? The Tana Rabbanan. Sha'arecha. Now this is Sha'arecha in Parshat Shoftim. It's the first pasuk on the page. Zeshar Shavadbo. In other words, you take him out and stone him b'Sha'arecha. That's talking about the Shar where he worshipped, not the Shar of the city. Atalomer Shar Shavadbo and all the Shar Shnidonba. Maybe it's the Shar of the place where he was judged, of the Beit Din. The answer is no. Nemar Sha'arecha Lamatav and Nemar Sha'arecha Lamala. Sha'arecha shows up twice in that parsha. Once that you found out that somebody in your gates did avodah zarah, and the other one is you take him out and stone him b'Sha'arecha. So ma Sha'arecha mor lamala, just like the first instance, is a reference not to the Beit Din, but to the location where he did the avodah zarah, Shar Shavadbo, Av Sha'arecha mor lamata, Shar Shavadbo, same thing. Devar acher, we have another source. Sha'arecha v'lo sharei ovdei kochavim has to be your gates and not the gates of ovdei kochavim, which means that if the city is a majority of ovdei kochavim, it can't be done at the city gates. Now wait a second. Hai sha'arecha hayapikta. You already used sha'arecha to say that it should be in the gate of the place where we did the avodah zarah. How can you also say sha'arecha is there to limit and say not shar ear of ovdei kochavim? So imken lemakra shar, because then it could have just said hotzitam el hashar. Why sha'arecha? Shraminatarte, so you can infer two things from it. Both, that it is only at the gates of the city of a Jewish city. And the other is that it's done at the gate of the place where he worshipped if it's a Jewish city. And the second one is that it's done ideally at the gate where he worshipped. Now, Ashkechan Rodu Kochavim, so far the Psukim all point to the distinctions between doing it in the place where the Avera happened, or in certain circumstances where he was judged, vis-a-vis Avodah Zarah. Namaram Marasa Minalan. How do we know it applies to a Namaram Marasa? Ravau, Gamar Petach mi Petach, U Petach mi Shar. Because if it says that with Motzi Shemra, it's Petach Beit Aviha. And Petach is associated with the word Shar in the totally unrelated Pasuk from Bamidbar that I have on the page. That Shar Petach Chatzer. V'shar Misharecha. Alright, so Petach, Beit Aviyah, Petach, Shar Chatzer, Shar Sharecha. It's like a Midrashic chain. Now, Tana Rabbanan, Motzi Shemra, Lo Kevin Oten Me'asela. Interesting halacha, which goes against a lot of what we studied in the third parak, which is that in the case of, it doesn't go against, and it's an innovative exception to the rule of Kamle B'Rab Mine. Somebody's Motzi Shemra both gets makot and has to pay the fine. Ravida says, in any case, once the guy comes out and says what he does, he gets makot if it's untrue. Me'asela, but the fine is ba'al noten, lo ba'al noten. It's only if he actually had bia with her, and then came and said, lo matzati betulim, it turns out he's lying, then he gives the knas. But if he never did, if he said, I claim that she's not a betula, and I didn't even try, then and it turns out he's wrong, then he doesn't pay. Now, this machloket is parallel to an earlier machloket between Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and the Rabbanan. This is basically how to read it. In other words, our braita should read that he gives both makot and me'asela, whether or not he had bia. Ki Rabbanan, like the Rabbanan say, as we will see at the end of this podcast. Rabbi Yehuda omer lokot lo kemi kol makom. So for sure he gets makot in any case. Me'asela, but as far as the knas goes, ba'al notain lo ba'al eno notain. Only if he did bia does he give the knas. Korbalos ben Yaakov. That's one way to read the Braita. Ikadam, you could read the Braita the other way. Kula Korbalos ben Yaakov, that the entire Braita follows Korbalos ben Yaakov, that it's only with Bia that you pay the Knas. Vachikamar, Hamotzi Shemer, Alokam, Notin Measela, Vushabaal. The Tanakhama actually is more lenient than Korbalos ben Yaakov. He says that both the Makot and the Measela are only if you did Bia. In this version, Rabbi Yehuda is being more stringent. And he's saying to get makot even if it didn't be dubia. Now, for some Rabbi Yehuda, does Rabbi Yehuda really hold this? And by the way, either version will have this. If Rabbi Yehuda says that he gets makot even without bia, even if he didn't consummate, Rabbi Yehuda clearly says if he had bia, he gets, and then he says, lo matzati v'tulim, and he's lying, he gets makot. Without bia, doesn't get makot. Yeah, what he meant was that in the first case, where Rabbi Yehuda says, in any case you get makot, that's makot that the Rabbanan, discretionary makot that the Rabbanan administer, but really, midoraita, you only get makot if you were boel. Papa Mar, no, my ba'al loke, diktani hatam, the second statement, where Rabbi Yehuda says, ba'al loke, lo ba'al loke, means mamon. It means loke doesn't mean makot, but it means you're punished. And the punishment he's referring to is dafka the mamon. Which, of course, is very confusing, considering that it's a case where there's also makot. Vakarla the mamon malkot, since when do tanoim refer to mamon as malkot? The answer is in that we have a source text for. Vatnan, ha'omer chatzi arki alai, it's mishnah arachim. If a man says, half of my value, half of my erach, I'm paying, noten chatzi arko. He has to pay half whatever the value is. 30 shekel, he pays 15. Remember, the Torah at the end of Vayikra gives a list for everybody based on their age and gender what their erech is. Noten chatzir kor. Yosef Yehuda omer lokev v'noten erech shalem. Lokev here must mean, because he's not getting mako, did anything wrong, he suffers and has to pay the whole thing. Lokev amai. Papa lokev erech shalem. It doesn't mean you get mako and pay the whole thing. It means you get, you suffer and have to pay the whole thing. That's the suffering. So my time, why does Rabbi Yosef Yehuda say you have to pay the whole thing? Because if you confuse the language, if you say I'm paying half of my value, if your value is 30, you pay 15. But Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says you better pay 30 because if you confuse it and say I'm paying the value of half of me, which is erech chetzio, then you really have to pay the whole thing. Why? Because the same thing is if you're makdish part of an animal, then it doesn't spread. But if you're makdish an animal and you include in that part of the animal, which is dispensable for its viability, like its heart or its brain or half of it, then the hekdesh is poshet. So if you say I'm makdish the value of half of me, half of you is indispensable to you, and therefore the whole thing is you have to pay the full erech. So since if you said erech chetzio, you'd be chayav to pay the whole thing, chatzi erko midrabanan, and you have to pay the whole thing also. But the main point we get out of there is that we're willing to use the word lokeh to indicate not just makot but mamon also, right? Erech chetzio v'le ever shan shamat liyabo. Good. All right, Tana Rabbanan, v'anshu oto, the pasuk says, v'anshu oto, they will punish him, zemamon, that's talking about the money. V'yisru oto, these psukim are all on the page, they will afflict him, zemalkot. Now, based on anshu, zemamon, I understand that anshu is money, tichti v'anshu oto, mea kesef, because the next thing says, they'll punish him with 100 kesef. V'anu la'vian nara, and they'll give it to the father, which means it's clear that onesh there means the money. Ela v'yisru zemalkot menalan, how do you get that the word v'yisru refers to makot? It's another midrashic chain. Because v'yisru, it also shows up in the parsha ben sorer moreh, who's called a ben sorer moreh, and the word ben also shows up in mechuyav malkot in the parsha in Devarim, in kitetzev, ayayim bin hakot harasha. And therefore the ben there connects to the ben sorer moreh, which says v'yisru, and yisru over here, so it all is a chain that leads us to makot. Now, parenthetically, we're working with an assumption that there are makot for motzi shemra. It's machloket, maybe, between Yehuda and Rabbanan about whether you get those makot even if you didn't have bia, but there's certainly makot. So there has to be an azara. You can't just give makot for the heck of it. There's got to be a lav d'oraita that you violated. So azara the motzi shemra menalan. What's the azara? What's the prohibition that the motzi shemra violated? Well, azar mar, very simple. Lo tedech rachil. You're not allowed to say lashon hara. You're not allowed to spread malicious gossip. He came and publicly said this girl did something terrible, which she didn't do. So he violated it. Rabnatan omer, meaning v'nishmarta mikol davara. It's a very general lav that shows up in Parshat Kitetse and says you should avoid all bad things. Now, why does each Tana avoid the other Tana's pasuk? Rav Elazar, my time, Allah Marmi Hai. Why didn't Rav Elazar like that pasuk? The answer is Hom Baile the Pinchas Ben Yair. That follows the famous pious Pinchas Ben Yair's ruling or advice. Nishmartim, he called Davara, become Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, Al Yaradam, Vayom, Vyavoli De Tuma Balaila. You shouldn't think about lascivious things during the day. That's Vinishmarta, and that way you won't end up becoming Tamei at night inadvertently. In other words, keep your thoughts clean, which means it's not a law that attaches to speech or to particular actions, but it's just a general comportment of Kedusha. Rabbi Natan, my time, Lomar Mari Hai. Why didn't Rabbi Natan like Lotelech Rachil? So the answer is, Ahu Azar Lebeitin. He says, Lotelech Rachil is not a warning against you and me, speaking Lashon Hara, but it's a warning against the members of the Beitin, Shalohe Rach Lazeh, Vikasheh Lazeh. Don't go around like somebody who favors one over the other, and being friendly towards one litigant and harsh with another litigant. Right? So that, therefore, they each had other purposes for the other one's pasuk and needed their pasuk. Good. Now, lo amar la'edim bo'u v'ha'iduni. Normally, in a case where there is, in our case, that we're saying that this fellow, he's ending up with this fellow lied and said the girl was not a betula, and he brought edim to support him, who were then challenged. So lo amar la edim bo'i v'ha'iduni, if he didn't say to the edim, come and testify on my behalf, ein me'idinoto, me'lehan. So then they just come on their own. And he didn't ask them. They come on their own and said, oh, she's tall man. It turns out they're lying. Who ain't a low Kevin? Don't tell me I saw the slime. He certainly doesn't have to pay. He was a man, like to me, the skila. But if it turns out that they're right, then she will get skila. He vizom ma'asakadaitach, which she and her edim zomim, ela ohi ozom ma'a. We had this before, meaning skila is still on the table for her, and if it turns out that she's not guilty and his edim zomim, they get skila. But on his side, he doesn't have to pay if it turns out it's a lie, because he never started the issue. Makdim levera skila. He made the accusation, but the edim came on their own. Time at lo amar lahu. So we're inferring from there that it's only because he didn't say anything to the edim. Ha'amadu afagavdu lo agrinu. So what if he asked the edim to come, but he didn't pay them anything? Then he would be chayiv. Lafukim Rabbi Yehuda. This goes against Rabbi Yehuda. The time Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino chayav ad shi yiskor edim. Amotzi Shemer is only chayiv if he hires edim. You know, it's a kangaroo court. He hires false witnesses, and he pays them to come and testify falsely against the girl. Now, my time Rabbi Yehuda, where does Rabbi Yehuda get this from? I'm Rabbi Avahu. Atya sima sima. The word sima. He made an accusation about her. He placed claims about her. When you lend money, you should not allow to place usury on it. It's the same word and has to do with money. Very good. So that was going to lead to the following question within Rabbi Yehuda. We asked the following question. So the same Gzera Shava was learned elsewhere. Now, Bar Rabbi Yirmiyah, he asked as follows, Charan Bakarka, what if you hired them and not for money? You hired them with a promise of land. Mahu. In other words, Neshech is always money, because it's part of usury. Pachat Mishar Pruta, what if you hired them for less than a Shar Pruta Mahu? Shneim Pruta Mahu, or you hired the two of them for one Pruta, same thing. And although you could argue, if you hired the two of them with a Pruta, there is Mammon there, it's just each one of them is getting half. So, question is, what's the status? And we don't answer it. What happens, and now it's kind of miscellaneous case about Motzi Shemra, what happens if you're Motzi Shemra, not about this marriage, but you're claiming now that she was a noefet on her first marriage? Mahu. What if she makes a claim about his brother's marriage? So, one of these many things we do have a tradition to solve. The Tana Rabbi Yonah. How does the story of Motzi Shemra start? The father comes and says, I gave my daughter to this man, meaning to this man, not to her brother. Which means that Motzi Shemra, a man marries a girl and says, oh, I know that when you were betrothed to my brother, who then died, and I'm being doing the Yibum, that you were a Noef, that's not Motzi Shemra at all, not the Parsha. Now, my Rabbanan and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, remember a while ago we mentioned that we thought Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan were disagreeing about the machloket of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbanan of an earlier generation. So what is that? The Tanya. Ketzad otzad shemra, how does the whole thing play out? Ba'alavetin v'yamar ploni. The guy comes and says, lo matzat evitcha betulim. He says, mister, you're the father of the girl, I didn't find your daughter to be a betulim. Im yesh enim shezinta tachtav yesh la maneh. We had this earlier in the Masachet. If there are edim that she really had znut while betrothed to him, and that most strange statement, she gets a ketubah of 100. What are you talking about? She gets killed. Hachikamar, this is what it means, and it's how we parsed it out earlier. Imyesh enim shezinta tachtav, so biskilo, that's easy. Zinta mikara, if we have edim that she was zona, meaning she had a relation with somebody before the erusin, which means simply that he married a girl bechezkat petula nimtzeit peula yesh taktuba manet. This goes back to the machloket we had back on Daf Yud Aleph in the middle of the first parak, towards the second half of the in the beginning of the second half of the first parak about that case. Nimtza sheshemra eino shemra. If it turns out that it was a lie. Right? Rabbanan say that if it turns out it's a lie, whether or not he consummated or claims he consummated, in any case, he gets makot and the me'asela has to pay. Rabbanan Yaakov says the entire story only happens if he had bia. Now, Bishlam Rabbanan ben Yaakov, look at the story, the pshat of the story really follows Rabbanan ben Yaakov. The guy comes and claims, I came close to her and found she didn't have a tzuli, meaning I had relations with her. So according to Rabbanan, how do they interpret that? It means that he came close with claims and he's approached her with words, but it doesn't mean they ever got intimate. So we understand why the man claims, I didn't find your daughter to be a betula. According to Rabbanan, who say it could even happen if he didn't, wasn't intimate with her, what is it he didn't find? There was no opportunity to find anything. So, what it means is, I did not find anyone who will support your daughter's story that she was a betula. Meaning, I didn't get intimate with her, but I heard stories and I checked and I couldn't find anybody who would vouch for her. So, Bishlam Yaakov, again, he comes out easier in the text. What does the father say? Look at the parsha. The father comes and says, these are the betulim of my daughter. According to Rabbanan, what is he pointing to? He's pointing to witnesses who will vouch for her that the guy says he couldn't find. So again, Bishlam Yaakov and Yaakov farsua simla. So what do? They open up a garment and they show it. They assume that presumably the garment that has dam on it, dam from the wedding. But according to Rabbanan, what does it mean? This is one of the famous examples where according to many, the Torah is speaking in metaphoric terms or symbolic terms as opposed to literal terms in a legal context. In a legal context, that's rare. Meaning they clarify and they reject what he has claimed about her. It means that the witnesses for him and the witnesses for her come, and the Beit Din sits and they sort the whole thing out and make it like a new garment. In other words, they clean the whole case out. In other words, simla here is not a real garment, but it's a metaphor for clarity. He says, no, it means literally. Simla mamash. Right? And so Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, throughout the parasha, reads the story literally. He had relations with her. He comes and claims, I didn't find her to be a betula. The father comes with a simla that's got dam on it, says, Eilu betulei biti, and that's how it plays out. The Rabbanan say that his claim could be that also, but it could also be, I came to marry her, I heard rumors, I couldn't find anybody to vouch for her, and I approached her with these words, and I didn't get an answer, and the father then comes and says, here's my support, and farsua simla means we'll clarify it through testimony. Good. Now, Shalach Rabbi Yitzchak bar Rabbi Yaakov bar Giyor Mishmei de Rabbi Yochan v'gav Shalom Atzinu v'chol HaTorah Kula Shechilek Kachdu Ben Bia Kadarka Leviya Shalok Kadarka L'makotu L'onshin. This is like an epilogue to the whole sugya. He said, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and we're going to have to clarify this in a minute, even though we never find anywhere else in the Torah that there's any distinction between Bia Kadarka and Bia Shalok Kadarka, which we've explained in earlier podcasts, as far as Makot, as far as Onshin, by the way, as far as Kinyanim goes also, right, but certainly as far as Makot and Onshin go, if somebody has Bia Shalok Kadarka, let's say a coin with a grusha, so he's Loka, or in Misra with a Mamzeret, he's Loka. Of Motzi Shemra Chilek, when it comes to Motzi Shemra, we do distinguish. Eino chayav ad shiv ol shelo kedarka. It only starts if he has bia shelo kedarka, v'yotzi shemra kedarka, and then makes a claim that she was not a betula in the normal place. Now, that doesn't make sense. Come on, who does that fit? Ikar abanan afagav de lobal. They don't even need bia to be there for the case to happen. Ikar balazman Yaakov, right? Then idi kedarka bainan. He would say that the guy has to have regular bia and make a claim about regular bia. This is the proper tradition. He's only chayav if he has regular bia with her and makes a claim that she was a not a betula vis-a-vis regular bia unlike the rest of the Torah, where Biyash Kedarka and Biyash Shalok Kedarka really are equated. So we got to the next Mishnah, which now puts us squarely in the middle of the real issues of Ketubah, and Zchut Av and Zchut Baal, and we'll pick up from that point in the next podcast, Amir Tz Hashem.